둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Living the life, man. Living the life.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here for checking out the episode and the series. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with everything that we put out. In fact, you'll get three brand new interviews sent your way every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover those new ones, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to also give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps. We've had some great guests on as usual. In fact, recently talked with William Reed of the Jesus and Mary Chain. The Veronicas were here. Actor John Bradley, you know him from Game of Thrones. He's back in Three Body Problems on Netflix. Adrian Linker, the lead singer of Big Thief. Actress Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect. Chris Robinson of the Black Crows. Director Johan Rank to talk about Adam Sandler's Spaceman. Luke Hemmings from 5 Seconds of Summer. Nick Robinson starring in Damsel with Millie Bobby Brown. Tom Payne from Imaginary. Joe Keery from Stranger Things and Fargo. And Neil Finn of Crowded House. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Daily Show correspondent and comedian, Desi Leidick. As it turns out, Desi and I are from the same hometown in Louisville, KY. We'll be talking about that. And of course, Indecision 2024. But first, she'll give us her journey from Louisville and being inspired and obsessed with a late 90s Saturday Night Live, finding her comedy path after moving to Los Angeles, where she would go on to land roles in Not Another Teen Movie, Legally Blonde 2, and eventually MTV's Awkward, before auditioning 3 times over the course of several years for The Daily Show, finally getting the nod from Trevor Noah as he was coming on to host and arriving to that staff 3 months pregnant on top of that. We'll be talking about all of that as well as what it was like during the 2023 celebrity-hosted rotating desk era of The Daily Show. And now being knee-deep in Indecision 2024, we'll touch on Mitch McConnell's announcement of stepping back since we both got these Kentucky roots, women's reproductive rights, and her recent interview with Jason Isbell. All that's and more. We're talking about The Daily Show. It's Kyle Meredith with Desi Leidick.
Hi, thanks for having me, fellow Kentuckian.
It's a pleasure to have you because I'm going to say it right from the beginning. We share a bit in common from the same hometown of Louisville, KY.
That's right. Yes, we do. And we, the two of us, know how to pronounce it, Louisville.
It's funny, and you might get this too, because like half the time on the interviews, like people are so they're almost like they're so afraid of it that they have like, did I do it right? And they'll overcorrect it then. You know, they'll go
That's
too far.
Right. Louisville, Louisville. Yes, Louisville. Just don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it.
Say it like you've had a couple bourbons. It's the secret.
So you're from here. In fact, I should bring up my son goes to YPASS.
No way.
Which is where you got your start, but you're a YPASS student, right?
That's a little bit of a fudge. That is not you did your research correctly. I probably was not detailed enough in my explanation. So I went to Eastern High School for high school, but I attended an acting summer camp for 3 or 4 summers in a row at YPASS. So I was a summer school student, but not an official youth performing arts school student. And I regret it. I wish I would have gone there for high school.
It's been, I can't say I'm not there, but it's been a fun experience for him. But still, I mean, you know, and for anyone watching, this is the typical thing for any people from Louisville. What high school did you go to? I almost rolled my eyes at myself as I brought that up.
But. No, it's what is your son studying? Is he studying acting?
He's theater. Yeah, he's acting. Yeah. Non-musical.
Man.
Unfortunately,
Amazing.
He's got my singing voice, so it's non-musical. But
I'm right there with you. It won't stop me from singing. But yeah, I have zero ability. Good for him. That's great. It's such an incredible school. I was doing like acting camps over the summer, but then I dabbled on the dance team, and Eastern High School has a great dance team. And for whatever reason, I chose to pursue that avenue, and they would only let me be an alternate. Which means if you're an alternate on a dance team, you're allowed to dance at the games, but they won't let you anywhere near the competitions. So if that gives you any indication of how talented I was as a dancer. And so I only ended up doing 1 year and then moved on. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. And how big of a role does that still play in your life?
The dancing. Oh, I'm constantly dancing. I just have to like really think hard about it. My husband makes fun of me. Running, dancing, anything athletic, I have to like do the counts in my head and you can see it all over my face. I have to work very hard.
Doesn't look natural.
No, not even close.
Well, so I want to start there too. And we're going to make our way to the Daily Show. But that was, so you do the acting, you have the dancing, you go out to LA. Was comedy always, was it acting? Was it comedy? Was it both? Like, what was your direction?
It was both. It was definitely both, but I think I like, so as a kid, I definitely gravitated towards comedy in terms of like what I was watching. I was obsessed with Saturday Night Live, especially the era of Molly Shannon and Sherry O'Terry and Anna Gasteyer, and then later Tina and Amy. But those years when the women were really dominating SNL, that had a huge impact on me. And I think anytime I would experiment with comedy, it was basically just some version of doing an impression of their characters. Like I was doing Sally O'Malley as though it was my own, but it's Molly Shannon's. And my dad used to show me old episodes of The Carol Burnett Show, and I just like was so in awe of her talent and the command that she had, and that she was involved in all aspects of that show, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. And so I think it was comedy was deeply ingrained somewhere, but when I moved to Los Angeles, I just kind of wanted to be an actor, and I didn't go out there going, oh, I want to pursue comedy. It took me jumping into a few acting classes before I figured out, oh, this is what feels good to me. This kind of like makes my heart sing a little bit. And I was fortunate enough to have some great teachers who very generously said, hey, we appreciate that you're in this class, but I think you should go do improv, like go to an improv theater and pursue that. And I did that. I went to the Groundlings, and then I spent a little time at a place called Improv Olympic, which is no longer there. But I kind of threw myself into that world, and I wasn't great at it at first. It takes a lot of time and it's like exercising. You're kind of building a muscle, but I really loved it.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Desi Leidick. I mean, there's lots of routes into, you know, everything that we do, but to not know that improv, like you hear so many comedians be like, oh, you know, improv was such a big thing. Like for you to sort of
fall into it in a way and still get really, really good at it?
You have to be comfortable being bad at it for a while. And that was hard for me. I'm like, ooh, this doesn't feel good. Should I keep putting myself through this? But there was always something about it where I was like, oh, this instinct would kick in, or, you know, there was something about it that just felt really exciting, and watching it. Like, I remember going to some early shows at the Groundlings and watching Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig and these incredible performers who wound up having huge careers, and seeing how they did it and going, oh, you can do that. Like, people can actually come up with that on the spot. I want to learn how to do that. It's just a world that definitely excited me.
Yeah. I was talking with a director the other day, and he said he likes working with comedians in non-comedic roles because they're not afraid to be vulnerable. They're not afraid to show their worst self,
you know? In fact, if you're not showing your worst self, you're probably not doing it right. Like, you want to set the goal of just humiliating yourself every time. Kind of masochistic.
Yeah, I never thought of it in that way, but it's absolutely true. Like, you need to stand up, like, you hear, like, that's what you're hearing. You're hearing about, like, these moments that, of course, we wouldn't share usually ourselves, but that's what makes them, you know, comedians and great. And, like, did that side become easy? Like, I don't know how much of that you leaned into, showing your worst self, but...
Yeah, I think as a person, I think I really struggle with being vulnerable, and, you know, I think we all do to a certain extent, but, you know, we have these sort of, like, protections and guards and walls built up to protect ourselves from ever being vulnerable. And maybe I found comedy and found that type of self-deprecating humor through trying to control my own vulnerability. Like, oh, if I try to humiliate myself, I'm in control of it. So no one's going to bully me if I'm bullying myself. I'll get ahead of them. I think there really is a little bit of that kind of lured me into it. But yeah, it's like, I mean, that's the kind of comedy that I love watching, when comedians are like, kind of admit the most shameful parts of themselves, because we all can relate to that. It's just fun to watch someone else do it.
Well, in seeing those moments, like when you were in Awkward, like, oh. I felt like that you got to, you know, really enjoy some of that part right there.
Oh man, I love that character so much. There's nothing I love more than like someone who is just overly confident and underinformed, just a real boundary crosser. She was a fun one.
Now, I feel like those that personality trait, overly confident, underinformed, goes on to be most of the people that you end up talking about on The Daily Show. It's
political and comedy, those two worlds really coexist well together.
So I was reading, like, yeah, I think you said somewhere, like, you auditioned three times for The Daily Show before it happened.
Yeah.
Was that over, like, when was it, quickly, over a long period of time? When did that happen?
It was, I think, probably over the course of like maybe 8 years. I auditioned three different times when they were looking for new correspondents. And every time you audition, they send you a couple of pieces, in studio pieces that have aired on the show already. And then they also ask you to write your own piece so that they can get a sense of what your voice is and what you think your contribution on the show would be. So every time I auditioned, I wrote a piece, and I'm not really a writer. Like, I've kind of learned from the incredible writers that we have here at the show since, but at the time I would only write by necessity. And so it was a lot of work every time I'd put together an audition. And the when I got the call to audition the third time, it was when John was still hosting the show. And I thought, oh God, I've already done this twice before. I think if they wanted me, they probably would have told me. I should probably just get the hint and just sit this one out. And my manager really convinced me to do it. He said, I really think you should just give it a go one more time. Let's see what happens. And if you don't get it, we never have to do this again. I went, okay, I can do this. And so I rolled up my sleeves and wrote a piece and prepared the other two and made a self tape. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And I sent it in, and I didn't hear anything back. And I thought, okay, well, I did it three times, moving on. And 2 months later, I got a call from the show, just sort of asking, like, hey, we have our tape here, and we're thinking about bringing on a new correspondent, but we aren't sure yet. Would she be available to come out? And of course, we, yes, I'll be there tomorrow, whatever you need. And they were like, okay, we're not quite ready yet, but we're just checking. And shortly after that, John announced that he was leaving the show. So they didn't want to bring on anyone at that time because it felt like a time of transition. John left the show. They were looking for the new host. They met with Trevor. They hired Trevor. And then they called me to come out and meet with Trevor in July. So I submitted the tape in November. I got the call in July. It was a very long process. And during that period of time, my husband and I got pregnant. And I was 4 months pregnant when I was asked to come out to meet with Trevor. And being a woman who started in this industry in 2001 and knows the landscape pretty well, I thought, oh my God, I know this is a progressive show, but should I tell them that I'm pregnant? What's the protocol here? Do I owe them that information? And I decided I would go ahead and do the audition and then talk to our showrunner, the executive producer, afterwards. So I did that. And like a crazy actor, I waited in the waiting room for the executive producer to come out afterwards. I said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And she's going, yeah, sure. And I said, listen, this is my dream job. If asked, I will be here tomorrow, but you should know that I am 4 months pregnant. So I would be starting the job pregnant. And without even batting an eye or flinching, she went, congratulations, that's amazing. Great, we've done it before, we'll do it again. We can talk about it on the show or not talk about it, whatever you're comfortable with. And I was just like, this is where I wanna be. And I have not left in 8.5 years.
Man, when you find a place, And trust me, like, I'm in public radio here in Louisville, which
yeah,
not sound like big, something big outside of Louisville, but it's when you find a place, you hang on to it, you know?
Yes, that's right. And that's the way it should be everywhere. And I think more places are like that now, but you know, it wasn't lost on me how good that felt to be supported like that.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Desi Leidick.
Well, and these moments of transition you guys find yourself in again, not too long ago, the rotating chairs of the desk.
Yeah.
Over the last year and the celebrities, which was fun to watch. What was it like to be in that, on your all side? I think a lot of people, of course, probably ask you that because we're all so like the desk became such a big deal over the years.
Yeah. It was, and it is. It was such an interesting time at the show because here this spot opened up, and I think some of us at the show as you know, I think many of us felt like, oh, we may never get an opportunity like this again, we got to put our hat in the ring. And so many of us did do that, myself included, but simultaneously I was going like, well, can I do this job, or would I enjoy this, and would it work? And I didn't have time to like overthink it. I just had to go like, put me in, coach, wherever you can find a slot, just put me in. So we did that. And then, and they, you know, they really, the show took an opportunity to bring in a lot of voices. And I think it was a really, it was a fun period of time because I think it proved, you know, the Daily Show is an institution. There is a real DNA to the show. There's a backbone to the show that was really solidified by John and carried on and cherished by Trevor. And yet Trevor evolved it into his own version of the show. And we have such an incredible staff and crew of nearly 200 people that work very, very hard to put a great show together every single day. And it's no easy feat. I mean, we move so, so quickly. So the fact that we were able to make incredible shows with loads of different voices. It's a real testament to the team here. And it was fun. It was great to be part of. It was really, really exciting.
And now what is, so the correspondence, you get your week, John does Mondays, and then
that's
you get
right.
What is that rotation? Is it every four weeks, 5 weeks?
Something like that. Something like that. It's we don't have a full like a long-term calendar right now. We're kind of getting just a few weeks ahead, but I'm going to be hosting next week with Michael Costa, so we're going to be playing around with some duos as well, and then I have a week, a solo week a couple weeks after that. It's roughly like every 4 weeks or so, which is really fun.
Yeah, and to be, you know, in the cycle that we're in now, we're in decision 2024.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I would think like this is helpful. Like on the off election years, you know, I would guess every show you have to come up with something, but at least like this year you have a direction. Is that close to the case?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are knee deep in indecision 2024, and there's a lot to cover every single day. I think there are also stories that aren't specifically election related that we're able to explore, especially out in the field or in a pre-taped segment. But yeah, we're starting to really gear up. We've got the conventions in the summer. We have the election in November. It's go time.
Politics and comedy. And you've got to know a lot about both, I would guess.
Like, we try. Yeah.
Get real.
Yeah.
But we turn to you for the source. Like, that is the great thing. And that's been sort of the joke, not joke, for, you know, over 20 years now, 25 years now, ever since John took over. But like I do, I turn you all on in the morning. That's one of the first things I do to watch the last night show. To get
Thank
my news,
you.
You know.
Thank you. That's nice to hear. That's really nice to hear. It's we definitely don't pat ourselves on the back for being everyone's first source of news, but we try to like say we are a comedy show first and foremost. We are not actual journalists, but we do. One thing that I really admire so deeply about the show is that we really do try to get it right. You know, we report on the facts, and we have incredible researchers and producers here who take a lot of care in making sure that when we say something on air, that it's the truth, it's been fact checked. And then we are able to riff from there and try to hopefully entertain people, because it's a lot to keep up with the news of the day, and it can be very dark, and it can be very scary, and it can be disheartening. But sometimes if you can infuse it with a little bit of comedy, it opens up the conversation. And I think I know I'm from Kentucky. I come from a very conservative family, a lot of Republicans, traditional Republicans, and I myself am a pretty progressive person. So I've had to have many uncomfortable conversations with family members. And I will say, when not to be idealistic about it or you know, toot our own horn too much, but comedy can be a unifier, and it can open up a conversation that wouldn't happen otherwise.
No, I feel you on that. Most of my family is the same thing. Most are all conservative.
Yeah,
you know, that's not a surprising thing around here. You know, we are the little blue dot in a very, very red states.
Yes.
How do you feel about McConnell finally calling it? How's that going to change the landscape?
I don't know. I hope it does. I think it's time. I think that was a good call. He claims he's not going anywhere. But yeah, I think it feels like a step in the right direction. Kentucky's so interesting to me because there is a supermajority GOP. We have a Democratic governor. It feels like the legislation that's being passed by some of these politicians who are really extreme right, almost fringe politicians, there are all these policies that are being implemented that don't necessarily reflect what the people of Kentucky actually want. And I think you know, that's not speaking for everybody, but I think that's speaking for a lot of Kentuckians. And that's something that's happening all over the country. And that's what I can't quite wrap my mind around. Like, why is this happening?
Yeah, that's the, because it's basically known that Louisville and Lexington, for the most part, elect the governor.
Right.
And everybody else elects everything around that. Most people detest Mitch, I think, but they keep electing him because they think it gives the state some kind of power that I've never seen.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like I don't think that that's ever, I don't ever get the sense that that's ever helped us. It's never helped me out in my daily life. I guess that's what I mean, you know.
Right. And I don't think you'd be the only one to say that. Yeah. It's very interesting and it's disheartening. And specifically, we've seen it with women's reproductive rights happening where, you know, people all over the country are voting to protect, women are coming out and saying, and men too, protecting their own reproductive rights. And yet all of these extreme right-wing policies are, I mean, there's that IVF thing in Alabama last week, and it's just, it's not reflecting the wishes of the American people.
Yeah, which by the way, I should say your abroad special, it was so good. You know,
thank you. Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. I was very proud of myself that I was able to con Comedy Central into sending me all over the world for a paid vacation. No, I loved that. I loved that trip. Maybe I'll be able to talk them into doing it again.
Now, do you ever, and you know, I'll kind of wrap up with this too. Do you ever, like, there is news fatigue. We have an NPR news station, part of our cluster here.
Yeah.
But that's they have to deal with that. There is the news fatigue. I never, like, there's never a moment when I don't tune into the Daily Show. Not to say that I watch it every single time, but like, I never get that fatigue from there. And I was wondering, do you all sense that from your side? Do you see those ebbs and flows?
Oh, that's, thank you for tuning in and staying consistent there. It's tough for us to stay on top of it all the time. We get fatigue from time to time, and we try to, I think when we have little breaks and hiatuses, we try to make it a point to really unplug so that when we come back in, we're ready to go. I mean, when we decide what we're going to talk about every day, we're sort of mindful of what we watch the media very closely. Part of our job is to sort of satirize the media. And so we're trying to talk about the things that feel top of the day. We're trying to talk about things, you know, report on the weather in addition to reporting on the climate overall. And if we feel like we're getting a little tired of a particular topic, we might go, let's talk about the climate for a bit and shift over to this area. And then there's always a nice little moment of zen at the end of the show to cleanse your palate and get ready for the next day.
And the guests, I'll quickly say too, my good buddy Jason Isbell was on with you.
I love
your all's interview together. Jason, by the way, you know this, he's like the easiest person to talk to because he's so good.
He is so good. And I knew him, I loved his music, and I knew he was on the show with Trevor a few times, and I loved his interviews with Trevor, but like having him on that week was such an absolute delight. He's an incredible storyteller. He's an intellectual. He has opinions that he wants to share, and he's such an advocate. And then he like just freaking knocked it out of the park with this beautiful performance. He is truly a dream guest and such a lovely human being.
Yeah, every time if we go back to his drive-by truckers days, and you know, he's such a great guy. And Rex Chapman, I know he was on there too, and
yeah.
It wasn't on yours, but you know, the Kentucky connections are strong anymore.
Yeah, I got to give him a little hug after the interview, and a little Kentuckian to Kentuckian.
Yeah,
he's a good
guy.
Great
to see how he's kind of turned things around, what he's become these days. You know, it was a hero of mine, you know, because I wasn't from Louisville, I was allowed to grow up a Wildcats fan.
That's right. Okay, you're excused.
Right, that's gonna change. I love what you all do as a team. I'm such a fan of what you all do, and I'm so happy that, you know, that dancing didn't work out for you.
So. Thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
No, seriously, thank you for taking the time to talk about it today.
Thank you. It was such a treat. Good to see you.
My thanks to Desi, The Daily Show, airing Monday through Thursday. And thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep you up to date with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Again, please do give the show a rating, leave a review while you're at it. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows, in fact, I play some classics and favorites from R.E.M., Liz Phair, Slater Kinney, Alejandro Escovedo, Pretenders, The Police, Dirty Rugs, Delta Spirit, Noah Kahan, Hozier, Ivy, The Cranberries, Mike Watt, and my interview with Nancy Wilson of Heart. Just an example of what you get every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, just a little global warming. No big deal.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.